The first time in my life that I ever went to a place of worship was when my dad invited me to one. I was 10 years old. And it was an awe-inspiring experience, I have to say, to go to this hallowed place where for over a century, in this particular place, thousands had gathered over the years to sing songs of praise, to declare their commitment, their worship to the one they followed. On the day we went, there were 40,000 worshippers there, alongside my dad and me. And I was blown away that so many people, mainly men in this congregation, could be this passionate. 1970, Tottenham against Arsenal, White Hart Lane. Incredible experience. This is what it was like. Incredible. Then there's some similarities between a stadium for football fans like this, White Hart Lane no longer there, but soon to be built, and a church like this for followers of Jesus. Both are places of worship, just different kinds of worship, obviously. Both are places of songs sung in honor of the Lord, or in Tom's case, Lords on the playing pitch. Both are places where people look and find a deeper meaning to their life, they claim. And I mention this because over the last weeks of this evening service, we've been thinking about what God's word says it means to follow Jesus. And tonight, looking at John chapter 6, I'd like to, in a few brief minutes, chart the journey that following Jesus is, that actually for many people, certainly for me, starts with some similarities to being a fan. And here is the question tonight: am I, are you, are we a fan of Jesus? Let me say, nothing wrong with that as far as it goes. And yet, Jesus wants more. Are we a follower of Jesus? I'll briefly sketch out the difference. A fan, they're in the stands, all of us. But imagine this. Imagine you're in the stands with me at Tottenham. And Mauricio Pochettino, know who he is? He's the manager. He points out to us. Hey, you up there. You, Jonathan. Come on to the pitch. I say, oh no, I'm just a fan. I'm just a fan. Here's a definition of a fan. It's someone who follows somebody or some team for their performance, what they can give to me. It's how many people, certainly I, start off following Jesus for what he can give to me. Good news, Jesus offers you and me so much. But here's the thing about a follower. The difference with a follower, he doesn't only follow Jesus for what he can give to me. He's heard Jesus say, I'm looking for followers who will share in what I'm doing, like a player on the pitch. There's a difference. Would you turn to John chapter 6? It's on page 1069, if you have got a church Bible, John chapter 6. And it starts off with what a fan looks like. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, and a great crowd of people followed him. Why? Are you with me? John chapter 6. Are you with me? Yeah, great. A great crowd of people followed him. Why? Because they saw the miraculous signs he'd performed on the sick. Okay, so here's a picture of, if you like, fans. Nothing wrong with them. We want to get out the good news to Peckham and beyond that Jesus can do great things for you. We see miraculous signs that Jesus has done in our midst. Over the years since 1872, since this church was built, and just in the last 6 short years I've been here, God has done amazing signs. Good news, the word for which is gospel. Jesus can do, is doing, will do miracles in your life, including healing the sick. And Jesus goes up on a mountainside, verse 3, with his disciples, and the crowds follow him. Why? They're fans. They want Jesus to do stuff for them. And Jesus sees them. I'm going to paraphrase now. They're hungry. And Jesus is going to give them one of his miraculous signs. He's going to do something great for them. He's got a lot more to give them, but he's going to give them a clue as to who he is, what he's like. Perhaps you know how the story goes on. We know it as the feeding of the 5,000. With a boy's packed lunch, Jesus feeds this whole crowd. And 12 baskets of leftovers are at the end of it. The crowd are stunned. You see, they've been brought up with the story of God's faithfulness feeding their forefathers in the desert. If you've read the Old Testament, you might know the book of Exodus and how God leads his people out of slavery, how he feeds them through the desert. He leads them towards the promised land. And here are these crowds, these fans of Jesus. They're thinking, here's someone who can do the same. More accurately, they put it, where are we? Verse 14, are you there? Surely, this is the prophet who has come into the world. This is the one who our nation has been waiting for. He's the one who can feed us in the wilderness, just like he's done just now. Just like God did for our forefathers through the desert. And so they want to make him, verse 15, king by force. We want a king who will do stuff for us. A fan says, I need you to do something for me. Fans go to White Hart Lane, well, they did when it was around. Now they go to Wembley or wherever Tottenham are playing, hoping, longing that their team will perform well, that you'll give us meaning to our life, that you'll give me joy. People come to Jesus hoping that they will sort them out. A man called Nicodemus comes to Jesus for what he can do for him because there's something missing in his life. A rich young ruler does the same. Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Some men come carrying a paralyzed friend on a mat, hoping they can do something for them and their friend. In 1979, I was impressed by this life of a friend of mine. I could see his life was different. And he'd been following Jesus for some years. And I couldn't put my finger on it, but I knew he had something I didn't. And when he invited me to come to this meeting, I did. And I heard about the Jesus who died on a cross for me. And I became, as it were, a fan of him. I wanted him to give me a new beginning, as was his offer. There's nothing wrong with asking God for provision, for healing, for his help, for his forgiveness of sins. Give us today our daily bread, Jesus teaches us to pray. That's what the crowds here want. And they want to make Jesus king by force, the king who will do things for them. And Jesus slips away because he's a king of another kind who's not looking for fans. He's inviting followers. People who he can do things with and through. Here's a little video clip, if we can get it going, of what following is like. It's the video.
Grab my hand. You can do this.
you ever experienced this? Maybe you have, maybe you haven't. Somebody like your dad, when you were very young, maybe you had that, who invites you to follow him, and you really trust him, but where he's going, you've never been before, and there's this tussle that comes with you. You'd really like to do stuff with your dad, and you do trust him. But some of these things look a bit scary. What he's wanting you to do is to join in with what he's doing, to go where he's going. And you're thinking, well, shall I do that? Is that ice really going to hold me? And you see, a follower is very different from a fan because there's a cost to it. Back to John chapter 6. It's one day later, and the crowds have come to look for Jesus again. Verse 25, and when they found him, they're really hoping, Jesus tells them this, verse 26, for another miraculous sign. And here's me paraphrasing again. But now he starts to say something that's not quite so popular. He's about to explain to them what a follower is, and he uses this like a picture, this analogy that makes no sense to them at all. He speaks to them of eating his flesh. Verse 53, I tell you the truth, unless you can eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. He's speaking to them of life of another kind. He calls it here and in John's Gospel, eternal life. Life joining in with God's life. Other Gospels call this the kingdom of God. Following God in what he's doing. And with this incredible analogy, it makes no sense of receiving God just as you receive bread and water like your forefathers did in the desert to sustain them physically. I'm speaking of a life of another kind, eternal life, where I, my spirit, my very flesh and blood will sustain you. Now look, first century Jews, this sounds like cannibalism. This is sacrilegious. This makes zero sense. 2,000 years on, we have a sacrament, a word that means sign. Jesus gives it to his church. It's called Holy Communion. In a moment, I'm going to invite you to come forward to take the bread. If you have been to church before, you may be familiar with this, representing Jesus' body. The wine representing Jesus' blood. The sacrament given to the church. But in John chapter 6, this crowd of fans have no idea what he means, and it sounds just too hard. On hearing it, many of his disciples said, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? Verse 66, from this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. And here's the question Jesus asks the 12 who he's handpicked, that he asks you, that he asks me. You do not want to leave too, do you? Jesus asked the 12. You see, maybe some of you are here tonight as, like myself, you could say, we have many stories going back some years of God's faithfulness. You've experienced him coming through for you. You've experienced times when, like a dad inviting you to follow him, and you've stepped out in faith, and yeah, his faithfulness, his trustworthiness has been never let you down. But perhaps you also know moments, maybe tonight, you're in them. Maybe you've known seasons. Maybe tonight you're in one. Where the tussle between faith in the Jesus you love to worship and pray to, and ask things from. And the fear of actually stepping out to follow him in ways that feel pretty scary, you know, that tussle is pretty intense. And Simon Peter, who so often says the wrong thing, here says a great thing. He says a great thing. He says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. But this is a decisive moment for Simon Peter, for the others in the 12. It's the moment when they decide, are we just going to be a fan who loves to be in the stands and applaud Jesus and watch him and marvel at him? Or are we going to be a follower who actually joins in with what he's doing, who is sustained by his very Holy Spirit? And if his Holy Spirit doesn't turn up, we are really in big trouble. Simon Peter begins to understand a great prayer of Moses. It's in Exodus chapter 33, verse 15. And this is what Moses says there. He gets this. He says, Lord, if you are not going with us, do not send us out from here. You see, Jesus is inviting you and me, every single one of us, to a life that's following him, and at moments will involve a stepping out in a way that makes no sense unless Jesus is, as Simon Peter declares, the Holy One of God. Unless Jesus does have the words of eternal life, the kingdom of God. And at the end of your life, looking back on it, what I think we'll really be hoping for on our final day is that we can look back on moments of deep significance, when we belong to something bigger than ourselves, when we actually made a difference. This is the invitation Jesus is inviting you and me to join in with him in a life that makes a difference. It's why Simon Peter and the others followed Jesus in the first place. Do you remember when Jesus said to them, like the father in the picture here, follow me. Jesus said something pretty similar. He said, come follow me. Join me in what I'm doing. I'll make you fishers of men, fishers of people. With my power in you, I will use you and work with you to change other people's lives. To like a fisherman catches fish, you can catch, attract, draw in others who the Holy Spirit in you will draw to me. No one can come to me unless the Father draws them. And I will be working in you to draw others to the good news of Jesus, who has died on a cross for you and wants to work with them as he's working in you. At the end of our lives, we'll be so glad to have joined in something bigger than us, to belong to the greatest project in the whole universe that is the kingdom of God. Jesus is saying, I'm not calling you just for your own salvation project. I'm calling you to join in with all the saints and with the life of the Father and the Spirit and the Son, who is alive and well on earth, working through all who believe, all who will receive the life I give them, of which this is a sign. Are you a fan? Because you've got a lot of stuff for Jesus to work out and help you with. That's no bad thing. But there's a moment, and this is the moment for Simon Peter and the others, where you move from being a fan for what Jesus can do for you to a follower and all that Jesus wants to do through you. Does this make sense? It's Mauricio Pochettino inviting you to say, I'm choosing you. I'm choosing you. Come on the field. Say, well, no, I'm just a fan. This isn't Mauricio Pochettino. It's one far greater. It's Jesus Christ himself. The only one who has died on a cross, the righteous who he was and is, for the unrighteous, that's you and me, who we are, that we might come to God and be involved in the great salvation project, the greatest salvation project of the universe. Follow me. I'll make you fishers of people. Can you hear this question in your hearts that Jesus asked the 12, asks you and me? Do you want to leave too? And is your heart's echo in fear and trembling, maybe with great doubts, in the tussle that goes on in hearts and minds between faith, even as small as a mustard seed, and fear of the unknown? Can you echo with Simon Peter, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know you are the Holy One of God. Tonight, in a moment, Jenny's going to invite you, if you wish, to receive the sign Jesus gives his church, the sign of bread and wine, of his power, his very presence, his life being received into you. And next Sunday, there is another sacrament, another sign that is happening in our evening service. And there's two of you here tonight who are taking part in this sign. But if it's a sign that is right for you to say, yeah, I want that, I mean, I'm inviting you this evening to consider it. It's the sign of baptism. And it's a sign of you saying, I don't want to be a fan, I want to be a follower. The sign of going underneath the water as a way of dying to one life. And then two of you will be brought up again as a sign of the new life, this sacrament given to the church of what it means to have this new life as a follower in Jesus. If that's something that God by his Spirit is saying to you, I'm inviting you to come into the baptism water next Sunday, then you need to just have a word with somebody, myself or Jenny, this evening. As the worship band come forward, I'm going to lead us in a prayer. If it's your prayer, I invite you to echo it in your hearts. Lord Jesus, as you welcomed the crowds to yourself, fans though they were, longing for you to do something for them, thank you that you welcome them as you have welcomed me. Thank you for the extraordinary mystery that you died for me, for everyone here. And now you offer the power, the same power that raised you from the dead, is at work in those who believe. And you offer that to me, to each of us here. Lord, would you help me as you helped the first disciples in their fear and trembling to follow you, to be a follower, even when that's a scary thing. As we go into this week with its scary prospects, maybe for some of us, would you sustain us, and may the sign of your body and your blood sustain us, Lord. us to follow you. To whom else shall we go? You have the words of eternal life.